UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
In response to low national vaccination rates against the human papillomavirus, the University of Alabama at Birmingham Comprehensive Cancer Center has joined all 69 of the nation's top cancer centers in issuing a statement urging for increased HPV vaccination for the prevention of cancer. And according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, adults also still have a need for vaccines. My guest today is Dr. Rajlakshmi Chirla. She is the Director of Family Medicine Student Clerkship and Assistant Professor of Family Medicine at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Chirla. So to begin with, let's start with adolescent vaccines and specifically the HPV vaccine. What do we know about this vaccine as of now?
The HPV vaccine can help preventing an HPV infection. And an HPV infection can give not only genital warts, but also cervical cancer in women and anal cancer. So it is very important that this is a vaccine. Patients know that this is one vaccine that prevents cancer, and it is important to get this vaccine prior to getting infected with the HPV virus.
What would you like to tell other physicians about discussing this vaccination with the parents and explaining to them the efficacy of this vaccine and how important it is?
I would say the most important point to stress to parents is that this is one of the only vaccines that prevents cancer. Most children and adolescents, when I say children, preteens and adolescents, tend to become sexually active around this age of 10, 11. So it is so important to give them this vaccine and prevent from long-term consequences of HPV infection, such as cervical cancer and anal cancer and other sexually transmitted diseases.
And then as an adolescent gets toward college, are they still recommending that they get a meningitis vaccine or a booster? And when would that be given?
The meningitis vaccine is very important. It is important to know that it's a two-dose series. The first dose of the meningitis vaccine, which is usually called Menactra, the meningococcal conjugate vaccine, which has four serogroups, should be given at 11 or 12 years of age. So again, going back to the 11-year-old adolescent vaccination visit, this is when you would start Menactra along with the HPV series. But then what we have noticed is 3 years after the first dose of meningococcal vaccine is given, the circulating antibodies diminish significantly, and most adolescents are not protected by the time they go to college, especially when they are at maximum risk of getting meningococcal infection. So it is very important that we give them a booster at 16 years. And only then, only when we finish this two-dose series, the first dose at 11 or 12 years of age and the second dose at 16 years of age, only then that is known to have enough immunity to protect themselves against meningococcal disease. Now, what if we miss the first dose at 11 to 12 years of age? You can give it at 13 to 15 years of age. They still need a booster from 16 to 18 years of age. If it so happens that we miss giving Menactra by even until 16, it can be given from 16 to 18 years of age, but these adolescents do not need a booster.
And are there any other vaccinations that you'd like to recommend for the adolescent population?
The only other important vaccines would be Tdap and flu shot. Flu shot should be given annually during the flu season. Tdap should be given at age 11 years of age.
So moving on to adults, and adults don't often feel that they need vaccinations anymore, Dr. Chirla. So what do you tell physicians about, what would you like to tell physicians about recommending vaccinations for their adult population?
I think the most important thing I would tell other physicians is as most family physicians, pediatricians are at the front line, especially family physicians and internists, when it comes to adult vaccinations, we should be telling our adult patients about immunizations whenever we discuss health promotion and disease prevention, because immunizations are, again, a very important quality indicator of health promotion and disease prevention. So whenever we talk about preventive care with our patients, the importance of immunizations should be stressed. Talking about yourself, giving your own example or your parents' example would be a good way to bring up the topic and say that even adults need shots, just because the immunity that you get from your childhood shots has waned off now and you're at high risk for getting infection. And you're not only at high risk for getting infection yourself, but if you're a grandparent and you're caring for your grandbaby, you could give very serious disease to the grandbaby if you are not adequately immunized. So depending on the patient's age and their personal and preferences, I think this topic should be brought up every time. The topic about immunization should be brought up every time there's an encounter with adult population, even when we are dealing with their chronic conditions such as diabetes, or just because some chronic conditions, again, put adults at a much higher risk for vaccine-preventable diseases.
So let's talk about a few of those: shingles and pneumonia. What do you want to tell physicians about explaining those two vaccines and their importance?
Let's talk about shingles vaccine first. So shingles vaccine is recommended from any time from age 60 years and above. So when we talk to patients, it is important to tell them first what shingles is, that this is caused by a reactivation of the chickenpox virus. And it is also important to tell patients that a shingles vaccine not only prevents an episode of shingles, which causes rash and severe pain and sometimes blindness if it occurs in the face area close to the eye, but it also limits the duration of the illness if at all you get shingles. So talking to patients openly about what shingles is and the fact that the vaccine not only prevents a full-fledged episode of shingles, but can also prevent blindness or prevent severe debilitating long-term pain from shingles episode is important.
And the pneumonia vaccine, how often should adults get that vaccine?
There seems to be a lot of confusion about the pneumonia vaccine, but the easiest way to put it is there are two types of pneumococcal vaccinations for adults. One is the PCV13, which is called Prevnar 13, in common terms, and the other one is PPSV23, which is Pneumovax 23. Again, there are many, let's talk about routine indications first for the pneumonia vaccine. When it comes to adults older than 65, so who are 65 and older, all of them routinely need both these pneumonia shots, Prevnar as well as PPSV23, which is Pneumovax. But then whenever possible, we should be giving Prevnar first when we start our pneumonia vaccines at age 65 and older. And then followed, and after at least 1 year, we need to make sure that there's at least 1 year time gap between Prevnar and Pneumovax. So after giving Prevnar at age 65, you give Pneumovax 1 year later. And that completes their pneumonia vaccination schedule. So if the adult receives, if our geriatric patient receives Pneumovax at age 65, they do not need any boosters. But if they receive, there are certain medical conditions which put older adults who are at a younger age than 65, who require Pneumovax. So these are the patients who will need a booster of Pneumovax 23 when they turn 65. But there is a caveat. You need to make sure that there is at least 5 years gap from their previous pneumonia shot when they turn 65.
So wrap it up for us, Dr. Chirla, with your best advice for other physicians about recommending vaccinations to both their adolescent and their adult populations.
Well, my best advice for increasing adolescent and adult vaccination rates would be to educate and empower your patient to know that they need vaccinations to prevent serious illnesses, not only in themselves, but also for their loved ones, and to talk about immunizations during some standard visits, such as the 12-year-old adolescent visit, make the 16-year-old adolescent visit a standard vaccination visit, and then make most of your Medicare wellness visits, the 65-year-old visits, standard immunization visits too. And that would be the best way. And even younger adults who are younger than 65 know that they can also be at higher risk for vaccine-preventable diseases. So keeping them educated and knowing what chronic conditions they have that put them at a higher risk, needing some vaccinations at a younger age, would be important.
And tell us about your team. Why is UAB so great to work with?
I think UAB is a great place to work with just because we are an academic institution on the forefront of practicing evidence-based medicine for the well-being and for the community, as well as for all the patients that we serve.
And a community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine using the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.